morning, friends, and thank you for joining us again in what we're calling a conspiracy of goodness. Singing the songs and telling the stories of people of America and our own communities, Larry Long. Recording the songs and stories and sounds of our communities, our neighborhoods, Brett Hughes. I'm Tom Thibodeau, and this morning we are celebrating Christmas morning.
Jacob said to his son, "You cannot quit till the job gets done." Joseph said no, Jacob said yes. Through this life we are surely blessed. Take me down. Take me down. To that town of Bethlehem.
Christmas, the very word means joy. It's a celebration of Emmanuel, which literally means putting down your tent stakes. The Lord of the universe put down tent stakes in a human family, a family who was young, unemployed, and literally homeless. A vulnerable family, sheltered by an innkeeper and honored by rural people who fed and clothed them. A young, vulnerable family kept warm and kept company by oxen and sheep and probably chickens. A young, vulnerable family who had to flee a tyrant and found refuge in Egypt. And yet, wise people from the East never forgot them. They blessed them and generously brought them the gifts they would need for survival. This is a story of hope, resilience, persistence, and love, and is retold in our human families every day. In Kentucky, Arkansas, Tennessee, Illinois, and Minnesota, where our fellow citizens are made vulnerable by tornadoes and natural disasters, and now throughout the rest of the country. We understand we need each other. We are all vulnerable at times, depending upon the goodness of others in our community, oftentimes people we do not know. Afghan citizens, 120,000, saved from the Taliban and famine by the U.S. military, and are sustained by the hope of life in a new country. Young, vulnerable families who rely on the love and faith and goodness of each other and every other person they meet this Christmas, every Christmas. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus.
Joseph thought, "I need a friend. With the strength of 20 men. There she worked with a double bed, axe that cracked like a kettle whip. Take me down. Take me down. To that town of Bethlehem."
Last week I was at Leo Niona's Tavern, where String Ties played for the 15th year, a Christmas concert encased in bluegrass music. If you've never heard Christmas music played in a bluegrass style, well, you've never heard Christmas music played in a bluegrass style. It was lovely. Five people with stringed instruments bringing alive the memories and imaginations of all of us who remembered back to when we were young, when they sang Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, to when we were reminded of the serenity of maybe Christmas Eve with a playing of Silent Night. In the midst of the concert, I read this little story from 1914, the World War I Christmas Truce. It seems the sheer misery of daily life in the cold, wet, dull trenches was enough to motivate troops to initiate the truce on their own, which means that it's hard to pin down exactly what happened. A huge range of differing oral accounts, diary entries, and letters from home from those who took part in it, virtually impossible to speak of a typical Christmas truce as it took place across the Western Front. To this day, historians continue to disagree over the specifics. No one knows where it began or how it spread, or if, by some curious festive magic, it broke out simultaneously across the trenches. Nevertheless, some two-thirds of troops, about 100,000 people, are believed to have participated in this legendary truce. Most accounts suggest the truce began with carol singing from the trenches on Christmas Eve. A beautiful moonlit night, frost on the ground, white almost everywhere, as Private Albert Moran of the 2nd Queen's Regiment recalled in a document later rounded up by the New York Times. Graham Williams of the 5th London Brigade described it in even greater detail. First, the Germans would sing one of their carols, and then we would sing one of ours. Until we started up, O Come All Ye Faithful, the Germans immediately joined in singing the same hymn to the Latin words Adeste Fidelis. And I thought, well, this is really the most extraordinary thing, two nations both singing the same carol in the middle of a war. The next morning, in some places, German soldiers emerged from their trenches calling out Merry Christmas in English. Allied soldiers came out warily to greet them. In others, Germans held up signs reading, You no shoot, we no shoot. And over the course of the day, troops exchanged gifts of cigarettes, food, buttons, and hats. The Christmas truce also allowed both sides to finally bury their dead comrades, whose bodies had lain for weeks in no man's land, the ground between opposing trenches. Just think, if back then in 1914, somebody would have had a banjo and a guitar and a bass. Just think if someone had brought along a mandolin and a fiddle. Probably there'd be no more war, for the music of Christmas brings us together and reminds us how we belong to the same human family.
Oh my God, Joseph exclaimed, and by the way, what is your name? Call me Mary, if you will, on the ground that her father tilled, take me down. Take me down to that town of Bethlehem.
It was the Christmas of 1978, a Christmas I will never forget. In the early part of December, my father went to a Packer game, and while at halftime, he felt this tremendous pain in his jaw, and his arm went numb. He knew he was having a heart attack. He didn't want to interrupt the other guys, so he just went back and lay down in the camper by himself until the end of the game, just staying awake, hoping he could stay alive. Well, he stayed awake all day, all night. He got up early the next morning. He went to see his doctor, and his doctor said, Greg, you've had a heart attack. In fact, I think you've had a series of heart attacks. And my dad said, well, I can go to the hospital on Wednesday. And the doctor said, no, you're going now. Called an ambulance, and my father ended up in the hospital. The reason he didn't want to go to the hospital early was on Tuesday night, there was a big game between Eau Claire and UW La Crosse where our friend Brett Hughes was playing basketball with my brother. See, my dad never wanted to miss a game, but there he was. Now he's in the hospital trying to recover from a heart attack. He's finally dismissed from the hospital on Christmas Eve. He comes home. He's ashen in color. He's weak. He could sit up for a few hours and then fall asleep, but my sister, who was youngest, would make him get up and do his exercises as prescribed by his cardiologist. And on Christmas morning, my father sat there and began to weep. We said, "Dad, what's wrong?" He said, "I love you all so much, but I wasn't able to get you anything for Christmas." "Oh, Dad, your presence and your love are more than enough." We all wept. We were so grateful for the gift of each other and our Father's love.
On the night Mary was due, without a home, Joseph knew. Child of God, please give us rest through this life. We are surely blessed. Take me down. Take me down to the town of Bethlehem, to the town of Bethlehem. My mother, Roberta, passed away at 2 a.m. on April 4th, 2005. I was at her bedside in hospice care holding her hand when she took her last breath. That moment will remain within my heart forever. 2 years after my mother's passing on Easter Sunday, April 8th, 2007, I attended Park Avenue United Methodist Church in Minneapolis, where the Reverend Dennis Oglesby spoke these words from the pulpit. The last thing Christ said to his disciples from the cross was, "Take care of my mother." I had never heard that before. This thought had never crossed my mind. What happened to Mary after her son Jesus was crucified by the Romans? That following week of spring break, my wife Jacqueline and I traveled as parent chaperones with our son's high school orchestra to Greece, where they performed in Corinth, Delphi, and Athens. During that trip, we were struck by the realization that we were following the same route as the Apostle Paul, which led Jacqueline and I on an extended trip after that orchestra tour to Ephesus, Turkey. It was there that we learned that after the crucifixion, the disciple John did what Christ had asked. He took care of his mother by taking Mary out of Jerusalem and on up to the top of Mount Nightingale above Ephesus for safety. As soon as Jacqueline and I heard this, we immediately journeyed to that mountaintop, where we entered Mary's small home made of stone that was reconstructed upon the very foundations of the house in which John helped build and Mary lived in until she passed. Within that sacred space, there were people from both the Islamic and Christian faith gathered in silent meditation and prayer, together drawing strength from the spirit of a Jewish woman by the name of Mary, as did I, still grieving over the death of my own mother. As we walked out the back door of Mary's home, there was a wishing wall and water fountain. We were told that when the disciple John and Mary arrived on top of Mount Nightingale, there was no water. And then suddenly, miraculously, a spring appeared, which still flows out from beneath the earth to this very day, near that wishing wall where people, as did I, leave notes of good intentions within the cracks of the stones of that wall. Before leaving, I bottled a cup full of the spring water. That bottle still sits with other sacred items on a shelf in my home. Last month, in that same spirit, Jacqueline and I traveled to New York City to celebrate the birth of our granddaughter, Noelia Dawn, to our youngest daughter, Lyra Rose, and her husband, Fernando. Noelia Dawn was born on Armistice Day, November 11th. Her name, Noelia Dawn, translates to mean Christmas morning. For Armistice Day as Christmas Day are both days in which the entire world honors peace and the coming of light out from a world filled with darkness. Here's a song I just wrote for my granddaughter, Noelia Dawn. Noelia, 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 beautiful in every way. Noelia, 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 a song of love I play. On the 11th day of the 11th month, we gather for peace on this earth. On the 11th hour from the bell tower, rejoicing the day of your birth. Noelia, 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 the bells of Armistice ring. Noelia, 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 a song of love you bring. What are your dreams? What will they become? May all of your dreams come true into a world that I'll never know, except through these dreams of you. Beautiful in every way. A song of love I play. Noelia, Noelia, dawn of the morning, you. Noelia, Noelia, you are my dream come true. Noelia, Noelia, dawn of the morning, you.
Absolutely sacred and beautiful. May we all work together to create a world of peace worthy of our children. May you all be blessed with peace and all good.
Thank you so much for listening. Have yourself an incredible week and a Merry Christmas to one and all. Thank you for all that you do.
You have been listening to Conspiracy of Goodness with Larry Long and Tom Thibodeau, produced and recorded by Brett Hoos. For more information about Larry and Tom, please visit www.larrylong.org and www.tomttalks.com. We look forward to being with you next week. Thank you for listening.